Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 391 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Emma Dabb. Emma lives in Melbourne, Australia, where she works part-time as a law firm in professional development, but she also owns her own business, and she is a life coach, and she's studying to be a health coach at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where I went for my health coach certification. Fun fact, maybe everybody doesn't even know that. I did that. But it's really nice to have you here today, Emma.
Thanks, Jen. Excited to be here. I've been listening to you for 5 or 6 years now, so I feel like I know you really well.
Well, you do. I am exactly what you think. So, and this is fun. This episode comes out on Leap Day, February 29th. I always love a good Leap Day. And also, you're talking to you, you're in the future. It's one day ahead there.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Yeah. I'm still living in Friday. You're on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yep. How's life in the future?
Dark. No, actually, the sun has come out now.
Good. I make that joke every time. People are probably tired of my corny joke, but you know, because you got a different day there in Australia. Anyway, it's also summer and we're having winter, so all that. The elementary teacher in me loves all those little details. So.
Well, I don't know if you know about Melbourne, but our weather is very skew-iff, and we're having some very wintry days. Our summer is bizarre down here at the moment.
Oh. Well, sorry about that. Summer's supposed to be nice and warm.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there in autumn probably.
Okay. Well, back to the podcast. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Yes. Well, like most people, it's been quite the journey. I discovered you by accident, actually. I was searching for a podcast and I can't remember exactly what the topic was. I think it might have been bone broth. And I just put bone broth into the Google and I came across you and Melanie.
That's hilarious. I wondered if that's where it was going to be.
Yes. Yeah.
We had a sponsor that was bone broth. Yep.
Ah, so that's how I found you. So when was that?
We were doing that podcast 2017. Yep. I was thinking we started getting sponsors in 2018, and some of the early, we had two bone broth. We had Kettle and Fire, then we had Bonafide. And they were some of our first sponsors, and it was so exciting. Okay. Like, they sent me free bone broth, and I was like, oh my God, I just got free bone.
Something for free.
Right? We were very early in the podcasting world. But yeah, it was good. They had really good soup. I liked their soup a lot. So what were you looking for bone broth for?
So 2018, it wasn't diagnosed yet, but I was feeling really unwell and I was looking for strategies to reduce inflammation. So it turns out I have chronic fatigue syndrome.
Oh.
I'm myalgic encephalomyelitis. So I was doing heaps of research into all the things that could reduce inflammation and help me on my wellness journey.
Wow.
And then listening to that podcast, intermittent fasting. So that was my next project.
Oh, I love that. So you were looking for bone broth because you felt like that would help you feel better, but you didn't know yet that you had chronic fatigue syndrome.
No.
Okay. You were just trying to figure out, what was it about? Did you think it was like maybe gut health kind of a thing? Is that with the bone broth?
Well, I thought I may have chronic fatigue, but it was still early days. It hadn't been 6 months of the symptoms.
Okay, you were researching.
I was researching. Yeah. And for chronic fatigue, it did say, gut-related issues. So
okay. If that's something I don't know much about, so you're going to teach me about chronic fatigue syndrome today.
I know so much about it.
I bet you do. What causes chronic fatigue syndrome?
Oh, there's about there's about five or six different causes, and that's why it's so hard to get a cure, because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. It can be due to virus, so post-viral, which is what we're seeing now with COVID. People with long COVID, that's chronic fatigue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Which is quite a nice thing. Not that people have it, but it's bringing awareness to, because chronic fatigue's been around for 60, 70 years and no one's paid much attention to it. But now all these people with long COVID are coming to the party. People are starting to put more money into research. So that's exciting.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, because you're right. I've heard of it. Like I said, I didn't know a lot about it, but I've always kind of heard of it. It was like this thing, and I was glad I didn't have it, but because I don't. Yeah, who wants to be
terrible? Fatigue.
Nobody. But you're right that with COVID, long COVID, we're hearing more and more people. Sadly,
yes.
But
yes,
that gets
it's
an
a
attention.
Terrible condition. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So viral, perhaps.
So for me. Also stress mm-hmm. for me. Trauma. No, that could probably be there for me too. Yeah, there's many different things. 25% of people that have it are bedbound or housebound.
Oh my gosh.
So some people can't even get out of bed. They can't even speak. It takes too much effort. Like if you ever watch, there's some videos around and docos. It's so sad. One woman's husband has to carry her. Like to go to the toilet, like it's devastating.
So you just literally have no energy to move around.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm lucky I'm not in that 25%, but I have to manage myself very carefully through strategies, because I can get to the point where I can't speak. I get that exhausted if I push it.
Wow.
Like you literally can't form the words.
I can't even imagine that. That would be so hard, because I am just hyper all over the place. Lots of words.
Me too, Jen. I've had to totally change my whole lifestyle around this condition.
So 2018, you were listening to the podcast. You heard intermittent fasting. What did you think? This is not a bone broth podcast.
I was so excited. So I started listening to you too. And then I moved on to intermittent fasting stories. I loved it. I was so excited. I loved the science. It just made sense. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear as I go on with my story, I am not a fast success story. I think I'm probably the slowest person you've ever had, but I believe in the science, so I'm sticking with it.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And there's so much going on in our bodies. As you have non-scale victories and health victories, if you feel even better, even a little bit better, that's a reason to keep going, right? That you know that it's helping and it's making a difference. And there's so much more to what it's doing than just what the scale is doing.
That's so true. Yes.
Well, we'll go down those paths. So you started listening, and so you began in 2018 after starting listening.
Yes. And when I first started, it actually worked quite well. So after the 3 weeks of being a bit hangry, yeah, and finding it a bit tricky, the weight did just drop off. So I was how old back then? Early 40s. So I'm 47 now. And yeah, wow. The weight did drop off and I was really excited and I was loving it.
So when you started, how much weight did you need to lose?
Oh, not much back then. Okay. Maybe only 10 kilos, which is about 22 pounds.
Okay. And did you lose all that you wanted to lose?
No. So so then I went to Italy the next year. So that was 2019. Went to Italy, totally went off the fast, got back. Then my dad died.
Oh, no.
Things are a bit tricky. I paused my studies. Wasn't at IIF then. I was studying something else. Mm-hmm. I love to study. So, yeah, I've been really on and off fasting until the last 12 months when I've done it
so
consistently.
You were kind of in that dabbling.
Yes.
Emma dabbling.
Yeah, Emma dabbling phase. It's in my name.
So you were kind of in and out. But, I mean, I understand with the traveling and then with losing your dad, grief does something to us. You know,
yes,
when you're going through grief, sometimes the last thing you can do is think about taking care of yourself, and you just want to comfort and you want to eat, and
that's it.
That's what's there. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the chronic fatigue.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Throw that in there. Yeah. One of the hardest things for me is sugar. So when I have it, we call it a crash. That's the language in chronic fatigue. You have a crash and it's not just like a mid-afternoon 2 p.m. crash. It's a 3 day to maybe 3 week crash where you're totally down in energy, which makes you a bit depressed because you just can't be bothered to do much. You'll have brain fog, can't concentrate, poor memory, all those things. Very similar to perimenopause symptoms, because I'm going through that and the doctor's listing all these symptoms and I say, well, I get them with chronic fatigue. I don't know which is which.
Now you're going to get them double.
Yeah, fun.
The fun of being a woman. So you were having struggles with sugar at that time as well. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, which probably
threw me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know some people went really well with fasting during the pandemic. I did not.
I think, there are two kinds of people. There are people who it didn't affect either way, people who really leaned in and lost a ton, and then people who were like, forget it, or the stress of the pandemic just, yeah. So I had a little bit of the panic. I had a little of the extra eating, extra drinking, time to rein it in. I had a little bit of that. Honesty pants tight.
Yeah. Okay.
But luckily, I was Jen Stevens. I couldn't stop at that point.
People are listening to me.
I can't stop. I'm Jen Stevens. No, but I love fasting. I don't want to stop anyway. But I imagine you gained back those 10 kilograms that you had lost.
Oh, and more. Okay. I gained so much weight. It wasn't just COVID. I've got two teenage daughters and one of them had significant health issues during that time. Mm-hmm. There were hospitalizations and it was very scary.
Oh no.
So my go-to for stress is chocolate and sugary food.
Right.
So I put on about 20 kilos and I say, about, and that's about 44 pounds because I wouldn't go near the scale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that being in the denial phase of you're just wearing your stretchy pants and you're not getting on the scale.
I was working online, so no one saw my waist. And I don't understand. Can you explain this, Jen? Why you look in the mirror and I see the same person?
That was me too.
Why? And was it like you until someone took a photo of me? I had no idea how big I was. And
I knew I was big.
Shocked.
I knew.
Me too.
The photo.
Yes, that doesn't lie.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. So, yeah. And there's nothing more stressful than when one of your children is having something going on like that.
It was so stressful. Yeah.
So she's doing fine now? She's doing?
She is. Thank you. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. She's
I'm
good
glad.
Now. Back good. On track.
Awesome. That's good news. So, so all that's going on. And were you just like, this is enough?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but Melbourne had the most lockdowns in the world.
So really? No, I didn't know that.
We were in lockdown for about 6 months in total. Not all in one hit, but in total. So that went over 2 years in and out of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until I had to go back to work in person and put on some work clothes and they didn't fit. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I actually did weigh because I wanted to scare myself into doing something about it. I was like, wow, okay, I need to do something.
Right. And do you remember what that number was that looked at you that day? Or can you share
it? I wrote it down. Yeah, it was 99 kilos, which is 217 pounds.
And I bet the feeling that went through your head was, thank goodness it's not 100. That extra digit would have been,
Yeah, for sure. Terrifying, the three. Never been in those numbers. Right? Never want to get there.
Yeah. So you knew it was time to do something. Your clothes didn't fit. You need a little different outfit from your stretchy home clothes. I get it. Yeah.
Yes.
Work clothes. Yeah, for sure. Time for work clothes.
Yeah.
And when was that? When did you go back to work?
So that was the end of 2021.
Okay. Yeah, y'all were out for a long time then.
Yeah, it's caused so many problems, Jen. So much our kids with their learning.
Did they not go to school during all those lockdowns?
They might have for a week or two.
Oh, wow.
But the mental health of our teenagers in Melbourne is the worst in the whole of Australia because of that. Yes, so many things.
Oh, that's really, you know.
Our economy went mental. Yeah, lots of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. As a teacher, that breaks my heart because, the kids.
They really suffer.
It's hard to come back from that when you miss key points, along the way. So
yeah.
We'll be feeling that for a while, I'm sure.
We will. Yeah.
All right, so you went back to work and did you come back to fasting at that time?
I can't fully remember. It's been quite the path. Yeah. I probably did dabble again, I'm thinking. Or maybe I did do it consistently, but the weight just wasn't moving. So in March this year, I decided, I'm always trying to get over my chronic fatigue, so I'm trying all the things. And I decided to have an FMT. A fecal microbial transplant.
Okay. So March of 2023.
That was last year now. It's
fecal microbial
transplant.
All right. So that was, I guess that's something that's showing promise in the chronic fatigue community.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. See, look, now this is so interesting. I'm going to talk about that and the COVID connection as well. I've seen some theories out there about COVID affecting the gut microbiome. And you talked about viruses, right?
So yes, viruses
affecting the gut, COVID affecting the gut. And so that makes so much sense. And also, we know the gut affects our weight. So let's connect all this together. One thing we have heard a good bit from people post-COVID is that they will have been maintaining with intermittent fasting or whatever, and then they have COVID And it doesn't even matter if it was like really terrible COVID or just, you know, mild COVID, but all of a sudden they start to gain weight out of nowhere.
I've heard you say that. Yes.
I think something is happening in the gut. So interesting that for chronic fatigue, the fecal microbial transplant. I'm sorry. I just write down the initials transplant is something that is being used. Cause I think that so many people who are struggling post COVID with the weight gain will have their ears perk up here as we talk about this. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. I don't know how accessible it is for you over there, but here there's only one doctor in Melbourne that does it. So when I had mine, there were people in the waiting room from Queensland that had flown down.
Wow.
So what happens is you go and have a colonoscopy and they insert the first transplant then, so it's nice and high to have the best effect. And then you come home and you have to give yourself enemas for 10 days in a row, which is not so fun. I won't go into detail about that.
Oh my gosh. But it shows how hard we're willing to work for this, right?
100%.
We want to get better.
Try anything.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So after those 10 days, I felt like a new woman. Like usually I struggle to get out of bed. I wake up feeling like I have a hangover, even though I don't drink. And I was waking up early. I was waking up at 6 a.m. full of beans, ready to go. I'm like, oh my God, I'm cured. This is amazing. But then that only lasted a week.
Okay.
And then my daughter was unwell again, back to hospital, and boom, yeah, I've gone back. Then 3 months after, I had some top-ups. Again, felt amazing for a few weeks. My daughter got ill again. I crashed. So the stress and the gut connection totally is a thing.
And it sounds like they're not taking root.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Like the gut microbes are not like settling in. Like they're, yeah. Because you feel better and then, yeah. I wonder.
Then you crash.
Oh. Yep.
And I had to have a whole food plant-based diet before the transplant to get the gut ready. So I was.
Right. So you were eating right.
Yeah, I was eating right. And after I did for a couple of months, I was very strict with that because I wanted to look after these new baby bacteria that I'd put in there. But it wasn't a cure, but I do believe I have been recovering quicker. So there was some long-term impact.
Well, that's good. There's some improvement that you've seen, but it didn't fix it, unfortunately.
Didn't fix it, no.
All right. So at that time, after that was March of 2023, were you fasting at that point? When did that come back in?
Yes, I've been fasting consistently for the last 12 to 14 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So doing anywhere between a 16-hour to 20-hour fast.
Okay. All right. So you were just like, I'm ready to get back to fasting. You felt like you were in a good place for it. And anything from 16, you said 16 to?
20-hour.
20-hour fasting. Okay. All right. So how has fasting interacted with your chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, interestingly, I feel better not eating because digesting uses a lot of energy.
So I'm not surprised at all that you said that. Yeah.
Yes. So I feel great in the fasted state. And once I start eating, I feel sluggish and get that brain fog back. So I've just recently started alternate day fasting because I've known for a long time I need to try this because of not just weight loss, but all the healing benefits that can come from a slightly longer fast. And I finally got the guts to try it in the last few months. I started with a 24-hour fast. And then once I achieved that, that sort of broke the barrier. I'm like, oh, if I can do 24, I can do it a bit longer.
That's exactly right. And that is true because the idea of, 36 hours sounds so daunting.
Oh, it does.
Wow. It sounds like so long. But if you can do 20, then you can do 24. And if you can do 24, you can do 36.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, you just keep going because you've passed the metabolic switch. That's you've passed the hard part.
Right.
It's getting to the other side of that metabolic switch every day that can be the challenge.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you employ ADF at this time?
So I do it a couple of weeks a month. So I'm going with my cycle with the hormones because another reason that put me off ADF was the stress, because stress is not good for my chronic fatigue.
Okay.
So in my research, finding that certain times of the menstrual cycle can be more stressful to do longer fasts. So I decided to, do it in those parts
of my menstrual cycle. Now, I do want to pop in a little bit on that.
Yeah,
I want to say that we There's some chatter about that, and especially one specific book that talks about that more so than others that came out recently. And so a lot of people are confused about that. Let me pull my notes out here and tell you the episode number to look. On the Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast, it's not out yet as of the day that we're recording, but it comes out next week as of the day we're recording. But for everybody who's listening, it's already out. If you are confused about fasting for women, especially if you read a book that came out in 2023 that implied that women needed to fast differently certain weeks of the month because of your hormones, you need to listen to episode 28 of the Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast. So you can listen to it next Wednesday, Emma. Everybody else who's listening now, you can. It's available now. We're recording this in early January. It comes out January 10th. So episode 28 of the Fast, Feast, Repeat, Intermittent Fasting for Life podcast. So we had Dr. Tabitha Barber on, and Tabitha has been my personal OBGYN. I met her through, she's the one that got me started on hormone replacement therapy. She's in a health and wellness community that I'm part of, but she uses intermittent fasting. She has a book coming out called Fast to Faith. And she does intermittent fasting with women as a part of the healing journey. And she takes a faith-based approach with that. She's just really delightful. But she got me started on hormone replacement therapy, which has changed everything for me. But she busts the myth of fasting being bad for your hormones that we need to fast differently around our cycles. And, I know nobody wants to hear it from me. I'm not a doctor. But when you hear it from an OBGYN, who is also, she's a functional medicine doctor, meaning she went back and learned about hormones. She taught me that OBGYNs are surgeons. They don't all know about hormones, but she realized you cannot be an OBGYN without learning about hormones, right? Even though that's not the standard training. So she breaks it down and she talks about, well, we don't need to worry about that. There are things that are stressful for our hormones.
Yeah.
Anything that is too much for our bodies. So that being said, you have chronic fatigue syndrome. So something that is not too much for my body could be too stressful for your body.
Yes.
So this is where bioindividuality comes into play. So you might be right when you, if your body is telling you that certain times you need to scale back because of the way you feel and that your body is telling you that, you're probably right. If you're scaling back only because you're afraid it might be too much stress for your body, that's a different thing. So really dig in and see if you need to or if you don't need to. Trust that your body will tell you.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
That spins my mind. There's so much confusing information
out there.
There is.
You know, like Tabitha talked in the episode about, like, we know what's bad for hormones, over-restriction, over-exercise. She gives the example of elite athletes, for example.
Yes.
Women who are Olympic athletes often lose their cycle.
Yeah.
So the sign that what you're doing is not good for your body is you've lost your cycle. So 100%. If you lose your cycle, something's wrong.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Right. If you lose your, that women, unless you're, you know, perimenopausal and then just buckle up, your cycle's crazy.
But I am perimenopausal.
Your hormones are going to be crazy during perimenopause because that's just how it is. Whether you're fasting or not fasting, that's what perimenopause is. But really the people who need to worry about their hormones are women who are wanting to conceive. If you're in the fertile period, that's when you really don't want to do anything like you know, the Olympic athletic kind of stuff or over-restricting your eating because you want to be fertile. You don't want to not ovulate. So if your body senses you're over-restricting or over-exercising, it'll be like, not a good time for a baby. We're not going to ovulate. Or, you know, you will not be able to conceive.
Right.
But if you're cycling normally, even what might be considered normal perimenopausal cycling, then that's a very good sign. Tabitha called your period is your fifth vital sign, she said.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go and listen to that.
So
my period is normal. I'm on HRT, but it's normal coming every 28 days.
Look, if you're on HRT, this is so important. If you're on hormone replacement therapy like me, I'm on bioindividual hormone replacement therapy. Fasting cannot mess up my hormones because I'm taking hormones.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right? So, like,
yeah, what can it mess up? I went through menopause. My body stopped producing estrogen and progesterone in the amount that was needed, because that's what happens to women's bodies post-menopause. That's just what happens. It's natural. Whether you're a faster or not a faster, that happens. So hormone replacement therapy puts it back in. So no amount of fasting, I mean, I could fast forever. I'm not going to. I like to eat every day, but I could overfast like a crazy person and it's not going to affect my hormone replacement therapy because I'm taking it. I have the estrogen patch and I have the progesterone that I take orally. So you don't need to worry about your hormones if you're on hormone replacement therapy.
Well, that's one less
you're
thing
getting
to worry
the
about.
Hormones that you need, and you're not at the age where you're trying to conceive.
Definitely not.
That's what I was thinking.
Please no.
Upper 40s, yeah. You do not want to. So anyway, I'm glad that you mentioned that. There is no reason that you need to fast differently, Emma, for hormonal reasons. But I do want you to listen to your body because of the chronic fatigue syndrome. I don't know enough about chronic fatigue syndrome to know when fasting might be overstressing for you.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm experimenting. And I do
that's what you
to
need
body.
To do. Yeah, good.
But I'm so excited by that news because I get sad when I go into the phase where I'm not supposed to do long fasts. I'm like, no.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also
good in a longer fast.
There's another episode. It's on the Fasting Method podcast. And before we talked to Tabitha, it was the episode I would always share. It's an episode of the Fasting Method, you know, Megan Ramos, and they had an OBGYN on there. And she talked about also how fasting does not mess up your hormones. And so that's two OBGYNs who are fasting experts who have said that. So I know you shouldn't take it from me because I'm not a doctor. But, you know, I don't want people to mess up their hormones. But why did no one ever worry about me messing up my hormones when I was taking diet pills?
True.
Nobody said you're messing up your hormones, or when people are taking the injections now, or like doing a 500 calorie diet. Nobody said don't do that, but that is what's really bad for your hormones.
Interesting. Okay.
So now you have permission to listen to your body, which is what I want everyone to do. And also everyone else can listen to an episode of this podcast. I can't remember the episode number. Cecily Ganhart. She's an OBGYN. It's episode 34 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. So I talked to her June 20th of 2019, and that was a long time ago. And she actually uses fasting in her practice with women who have PCOS to increase fertility.
Yes.
So she'll have women who cannot conceive or are having trouble conceiving. She would have them do intermittent fasting, and then they would become pregnant. So yeah. I just want everybody, it was just very disappointing that that book discouraged women from fasting.
Yeah, it really fasting. Did. I'd gone from fasting every day to not, and it really threw me off.
And I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to say,
talk to doctors.
I do talk to doctors. So I want to share the doctors who are telling you the information that, and that really understand the hormone side of it. And I really trust the OBGYNs who have taken the step to learn about hormones. So
I agree. Yeah. Now,
100%. Over-restrictive fasting could mess up your hormones. So I want to make sure that that's clear. Someone who was fasting in an overly restrictive manner that is not what I recommend could mess up their hormones, just like the Olympic athletes who are overtraining because that's what they have to do, or people who are anorexic lose their periods. We don't want to do that. Over-restriction is bad, but fasting, feasting, repeating, nourishing your body well is not a problem. All right. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Always a pleasure, Jen.
All right. So what do you think you'll experiment with now? Has that changed what you might try?
Yeah. So this week, I tried my first 3-day water fast just to do some incredible healing. I don't want to go any further than that.
Note from Jen.
Yeah, I don't want to go any further.
No. And 72 hours, I talk about in Fast, Feast, Repeat. 72 hours is the absolute max anyone should ever do, unless you're under medical supervision. And when those are the fasts that do venture into the over-restriction side of things.
Yes.
So cautious with that, but you definitely want to have a good refeed. I am not an extended fasting advocate or expert just because over the years of having fasting communities, I've seen a lot of people do too much fasting because they get caught up in the, if fasting is good, more must be better.
Yeah,
but
longer's
fasting
better,
is also
but it's not.
Very healing. If I had certain diagnoses, I would go to a fasting center. There's one called True North. I've just seen them interviewed and heard about the work that they're doing. but I would find a fasting center that was an expert in, and I would go there and I would do it. I'm a big fan of longer fasting for healing. I don't want anybody to think that I'm not, but I also am a big believer in, there's a point to not go it alone. I just want to say, I don't want people to overfast.
Yeah.
So you did a 3-day fast for healing purposes. How did that go?
It went well. It wasn't as hard as I thought. The first day was actually the hardest, which was interesting.
Of course it was. I'm not surprised at all. Do you know why? Can you tell me why you think it was the hardest?
Because I hadn't gone into ketosis yet.
Probably. Exactly. Once you flip that metabolic switch, then there you are. So the first day is going to be harder, and then you flip that metabolic switch. And that is why people get into trouble with fasting for too long.
Because they can't stop.
Because they're like, I feel so good. Why would I stop? And so that's the problem, because you're deep into the fat burning state. And I read a book, let's see, I've got it on my shelf over here, Fasting and Eating for Health, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. It's old. It's a really old book, but he runs a fasting center. I don't know if he's connected with True North or not, but he does fasting with people. He also, I believe he's vegan, whole food, plant-based, but he talked in that book about how amazing fasting is, how healing it is. And he does long fasts at his clinic, but he said in his book, your metabolism will slow down markedly after this long of a fast. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting information. This guy,
after
he's a big,
day?
Well, no, he was not talking about a 3-day fast.
Okay.
He was talking about longer fasts that he was doing for healing purposes. But that stuck in my mind that there will be metabolic consequences if you overfast for your body, whether that's 3 days or whatever the number of days is. I don't think that it's universal. I think it's different. It depends on your own metabolic health and other factors, like how you used to eat, how you're going to eat afterwards, all sorts of things. It all plays a role. But you definitely, if you did a lot of 3-day fasts, I think then your metabolism would start to slow. In the research that I saw on one 72-hour fast in isolation, meaning they had not been fasting before, they didn't keep fasting, they just studied one 72-hour fast, metabolic rate went up at the beginning of the fast, kind of like how you felt the beginning was hard and then you flipped the switch and then you felt better. You probably could tell when your metabolic rate was going up. It was up, up, up. And then they kept tracking people. There came a point when it reached the peak, metabolic rate peaked, and then it started to trend back down.
Yeah.
So
I've
by
seen
72,
that graph in one of your books,
yep,
I think.
Yep. It's in Fast, Feast, Repeat. So by hour 72, the metabolic rate was above baseline, but trending down. So I think that's important, because if it's trending down, it's not going to suddenly
That's always stayed with me.
Go back up, right? You know, so you know that you're trending down. So you need to have the good refeed after the long fast. So how did you feel once you flipped that switch? You felt great?
Yeah. The next 2 days were fairly easy. I don't know if I feel differently because I've got chronic fatigue. I hear of all your people saying you have so much energy and you go, go, go. I do not get that.
Right.
I don't get that buzz of energy. I get the alertness and the sharpness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. But you're getting it.
Yeah.
It's just not maybe as pronounced.
Right. But I had to take it really easy. Like I was just at home. I wasn't going out for those 3 days. I just took it slowly.
And I also want to point out that you're not going to, like for people who might be listening, we don't recommend those fasts for weight loss or for quicker weight loss. Because usually what people do is they'll have the longer fast and then they'll show you a big drop on the scale. And then as soon as you refeed and have your up days, 2 to 3 up days, which are recommended to keep, your body needs that, you're right back where you started. Is that what happened with your weight?
Yeah. And I knew that from listening to you all these years.
I just want to make sure all the listeners that haven't heard me talk about it before would get that. So that's pretty much was your experience as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I am noticing with the alternate day fasting, the 36 hours, is it's really helping my energy after and my sharpness. And yeah, I'm really liking the feeling. I reckon I could do that continuously. Like it's funny, on the days I eat, I feel like, I can't wait to go back to the fasting phase.
So you feel like you could be like a 36-12, just that feels really good to you.
Yes.
And the research Krista Verity did on alternate day fasting, 36-12, you can just keep doing it. It's not going to have, if you feel good doing it, you can just keep doing it. There's no need to stop, especially 2 weeks a month.
Yeah, that was really annoying. Thank you for bursting that bubble.
Well, it was just been frustrating because I don't want people to feel like they should stop doing something that was helping them.
Yes.
Anyway, but okay. I don't want people to be afraid to do it. We don't want to over-restrict. That is true. It's over-restriction that's really bad for women and over-exercising. So as long as we're not doing that, fast, feast, repeat, nourish your body well. Boom. So let's backtrack a little bit. When you first had chronic fatigue syndrome, you needed to lose some weight. And when you first found fasting, you needed to lose some weight. But have you struggled with weight your whole life, or when did you first begin to struggle with that?
Yeah. No, always struggled.
Always.
My mom put me on my first diet at 12.
Oh, my goodness.
So thanks, Mom. So that was Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
So I am, and if it was an Olympic sport, calorie counting, I would win a gold medal. I would have back in the day, not anymore.
Good. Freedom. Never again.
So, yeah, weight has been not so much weight until my 30s, but I developed an eating disorder in my teens. Okay. No surprise. And so my weight was pretty much okay for that reason. And I loved exercise back then. Mm-hmm. But in my mid-20s, I just decided at some point, I'm like, you know what? I'm over throwing up. And I just decided to stop.
Right.
And I did. I stopped. But I still had a bit of that binging mentality. Mm-hmm. And that still does creep in some days. But fasting has actually helped with that, which is amazing.
See, I'm glad to hear that. And that is also a clue that you're over-restricting. So if anybody starts to feel increased binge behavior, feel like you need an increased urge to binge, after you've gone through the fast start, after your body's adapted, if suddenly you start getting increased signal to binge, that means your body is panicking a little bit and you've probably been over-restricting in some way. Because it's just that whole cycle. Your body commands you to eat more because it's worried. You've over-restricted. So your body commands you to eat more, and then you eat more, and then you feel bad because you were purposefully eating less so you would lose weight. And so then you're like, I was bad. I ate too much. Now you have to get rid of it, right? Mm. That's where the purging comes in.
Yes.
Of the eating disorder.
Yeah, that's right. But the binging since then will come in more for emotional eating for me.
Okay.
Not that I've restricted, but that something's going on and I don't want to address it.
Yeah. So binging, that can be another trigger for it. Emotional binging versus there is a physical trigger to binging. So I want everybody to be aware of that if that suddenly starts to happen. But if it's emotional, that's a whole different animal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
A lot really of people is.
I'm getting
that. You are
better
not alone.
At that. Oh, good. I know. I've started seeing clients for health coaching, and so far all of them have had emotional eating come up. I'm like, wow, it is so common.
It really is common. And then people feel so much shame about it.
Yes. 100%.
And that's what I want people to stop feeling. Don't feel shame. That doesn't mean that you embrace it and you're like, I'm just going to do it. No. there's an in the middle of you acknowledge it, you recognize it, give yourself a hug. I mean, you say, okay, I'm doing this. This is not what I should do. But try to get rid of the shame.
Yeah. Yeah, the shame just makes it worse. Then you go and eat some more because you feel guilty.
It's true.
It's so bad for doing this. Let me do it some more.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm glad that I really think we do best at helping people through things that we have struggled with ourselves.
Oh, I agree. Yes. Yep, for sure.
Who wants a coach who doesn't understand it, right?
That's right. Yeah, I've been through all the struggles.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
So it wasn't until I had kids that my weight really got impacted. So I had my first baby at 27.
Okay.
But that weight came off pretty easy. And then I had the second one, but pregnancy wasn't fun for me. I had morning sickness the whole time and I comfort ate, which not ideal. So the second baby I put on 20 kilos, which is, what's that, 44 pounds, I think. And that did not come off so easily.
Right. The second one, it never does. After your body's like, all right, we're just going to hang on to this. That's what happened to me. The first one, boom, fell right off. Second one, no.
No. It did come off. I got a personal trainer and joined a group in a park, and it was so much fun. The trainer would let me bring my baby instead of using weights. I'd use the baby as the weights.
Does sound fun.
It was really cool. I loved that. I loved that she let me bring my baby. So, yeah, through my 30s, I yo-yoed. I went up and down. I did the HCG, which I know you did. And
I did. Did you do
not
the shots?
Agree with me. Not
did you
shots.
Do the shots? Did you do the drops? No,
drops. But it didn't agree with me. I was hangry and angry and tired the whole time.
Yeah.
It was
I did
hell.
The shots. I'm sure you know that. But yeah, it's a low-calorie diet. It was invented by a doctor. I mean, again, it was just because a doctor says it does not mean – I mean, doctors are people who can have really wacky ideas about things,
they make mistakes too.
They do. And you can find a doctor with an opinion. You can find 10 doctors who have a different opinion than that doctor. So a doctor said it is – you need multiple voices, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, I agree.
HCG was crazy, and there's just that one guy, and we're all trying it because we're desperate. But it's the ultimate low-calorie diet, which is also really bad for your hormones.
Yeah.
It was like 500 calories a day.
Yeah, I didn't last long on that.
No, I didn't either, honestly. I really didn't. You were supposed to do it for like, I don't know, 6 weeks. I did it like 21 days. I mean, I just couldn't do it.
I think I lasted about that long as well.
My body was like, nope. And then you're just binging and then you gain it all back. Yeah, it's quick weight loss, but it's not sustainable and you gain it all back.
No. So up and down during my 30s, then my 40th was coming up and I wanted to have a party and I wanted to look fabulous. So I had this great motivation and I'd bought this little white dress that I'd never worn because it was slightly too small when I bought it.
Oh, I did that back in the day. This is going to fit if I lose 5 more pounds. And then the next time you tried it on, you were 20 pounds heavier.
But I was determined, Jen. So I started running and I felt really good. And I was eating well. I wasn't on a diet per se. I was just eating well. And I got into that dress. I looked fabulous.
Oh,
I think the best I've ever looked.
I'm glad you got into it.
Yeah, that was a great night. Looked fabulous. I think then I couldn't stop running. And then, shortly after that, got chronic fatigue. And, all things went downhill. And
so you can't pinpoint to, like, the cause of your chronic fatigue. Like, you can't say, oh, it was that virus. Oh, you can? Okay.
I can. So it was 2018. I had a year from hell. It started in January. Actually, it started in the Christmas before the January. I got an infected tooth. Had to have that out. Then I got an infected gum, and that was one of the most painful things I've ever had. So what did they give me? Antibiotics. Then a few weeks later, I went to Bali, got Bali belly really badly, so more antibiotics.
Is that like a food poisoning or is it water related?
I think that one was water related. We went scuba diving and we all got sick, but I got the sickest. Yeah, won't be doing that again.
So it just destroyed your gut.
Yeah, and then go through the rest of the year. I was just always run down, getting every cold, every virus. Come August, I had to have a flu injection for work. I was working in the dementia field at that point, and it was in aged care a lot, and it's compulsory here to have flu vaccines to go into aged care. Now, I was very run down at the time, and I had the flu vaccine, and what happened? I got the flu, even though the doctors will say that doesn't happen.
Right.
Then I ended up with pneumonia.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I had multiple rounds of antibiotics that wouldn't go away. I've never been so sick. And eventually, I actually never recovered fully from it. That's what turned into chronic fatigue. So my immune system just totally shut down.
Oh, gosh. It was just too much.
My body,
it was too many things coming in at one time. Your immune system just kind of went haywire.
Yeah. But prior to that, Jen, I'm a type A personality. I was go, 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 single mum, two kids. I was working, studying, salsa dancing many times a week. Like, there was no rest. I didn't do rest and self-care. So mm-hmm. it was a perfect storm.
Okay. All right. So that started the battle with that then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's circle back to today. You know, you just started ADF.
Yes.
Recently, you've been consistent with intermittent fasting-ish for 12 to 14 months, you said, as of today.
Yes.
So how's your weight journey going now?
Well, after I had the FMT in March, I lost 10 kilos really easily, and I got so excited because nothing had shifted in a long time. But then that stopped, and I've plateaued, Jen. Nothing happens. That's why I went to ADF, for another reason, for healing, but and I wanted the weight loss to shift.
Right. But how close are you to where you want to be, your goal?
I'm still 20 kilos away, so 44 pounds. Yeah, so nowhere near. But I discovered that book into my ADF, so I wasn't doing it consistently because I'd stop. Oh. So I'm wondering if I do it consistently, then I'll start to see things.
All right, Nessa, I'm super excited. So you're going to have to follow up with me and let me know. So, so you are going to be consistent and listen to your body. Because that wrinkle of the chronic fatigue, you're going to make sure you're not trying to do too much. And you will know. Your body will tell
you. Yeah, it will know. It will
tell me. Your body absolutely tells you, like you talked about with the sugar. If you have too much sugar, your body, you're down and out for days, right?
Yeah.
So as long as you're feeling good, see what happens. And I'm really excited about that.
Yay.
No need to stop, especially since you're not in your fertile phase and you're taking hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah, that's great.
We still don't want to overfast. I mean, at no time, whether you're a man or a woman or whatever your age, we don't want to overfast for our bodies. But hormones are going to be the least of your issues, Emma, since you're taking hormones.
That makes sense.
Metabolism is important. We don't want to mess up our metabolisms by overfasting either. So. All right. So tell me about your eating. You mentioned that you, at one point, you were whole food plant-based before you had the FMT. How's your eating now?
So I've continued with that, which as you say, clean-ish, whole food plant-based-ish. Interestingly, I went to a meditation retreat just before Christmas, and it was beautiful whole food, plant-based vegetarian food. And I came home and cooked some lamb steaks for me and my daughter, and I had two mouthfuls and spat it out. I'm like, is there something wrong with this? And she's like, no, it's great. I'm like, oh.
You've lost your taste for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I've pretty much lost my taste for chicken. I've always been kind of like a little something about the chicken, but I just don't want to eat chicken.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't think I've ever had lamb.
Oh,
y'all eat a lot of lamb over there.
Yeah.
Not ever had the lamb. Definitely not. So you're feeling pretty whole food plant-based-ish.
Yes. And since starting with IAN 4 months ago and, always looking up new stuff, I've started making my own kombucha, which I'm loving.
Oh. See, so one day I've been telling myself one day since the day this podcast started, you've heard me talk about
try it.
Yeah. I want to, but I don't know. I am still always so worried that I'll like do it wrong and give myself food poisoning. That's just where I lack the confidence. And I mean, I understand if you do it right, you won't, but somebody sent me some sourdough starter one time and I killed it.
So. Oh, well, I did that with my kefir. I tried kefir. I couldn't get that started, but the kombucha I'm loving and experimenting with flavors. I'm drying fruit in the air fryer and yummy. Yeah, pineapple.
What's your favorite go-to?
I think passion fruit might be my favorite.
So tell me what you do. I don't know that I've ever had anything passion fruit. I don't think I have. I don't know what passion fruit tastes like. I don't like the sound of passion fruit. I'm like, that sounds like one I don't like. So I've never tried.
It's a tropical fruit.
Yeah.
Do you like mango?
Some mango.
Okay.
I don't like mango flavored things.
Okay.
So sometimes I will determine I don't like something because, like, for example, I thought I didn't like bananas because I don't like banana flavored things. You know what I mean? Like fake banana flavor is really, really
fake
gross.
Flavor, bleh.
So I've always thought I didn't like bananas because I didn't like fake banana flavor, but a real banana I like. So that might be true for mango. I might like real mango. So how do you make the kombucha?
Well, my friend gave me a SCOBY, which is the starter. And now that stands for something, which I cannot remember.
I don't know what
the
it is.
B stands for
colony,
bacteria.
Some kind of colony of
colony
bacteria.
Bacterial, yeah, blah, yeah. blah, blah. So she gave me the SCOBY. And then all you do is add black tea and a little bit of sugar. It's that simple.
And then it eats the sugar. So that's the thing some people are confused about. If like they think it has a lot of sugar, but
no, it converts the sugar and makes almost alcohol. It's very low alcohol.
Right.
And if you leave it too long, it turns into vinegar. So you leave it 7 days and then you pour it into a bottle, add some fruit and chuck it in the fridge and there you go. It's really easy.
It does sound easy one day. I will.
Ginger's my favorite gin. Ginger. You just add fresh ginger. It's like ginger beer.
Yeah.
Do you like ginger beer?
I do. I do like ginger beer. Yep. So I know it's just a feeling of like knowing that you have made this. Like when I was making bread all the time. Yeah. It feels like magic. All right. It's in there. One day I'll do it. One day I'll do it, y'all, and I will tell you about it.
You got me into chickpeas and making hummus.
Well, good. Making hummus is, I'm glad. That's easy, isn't it?
It is easy. And I even soak my chickpeas. I take it to the next level. I soak chickpeas overnight.
So do you start with dried?
Dried chickpeas, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then whack them in the air fryer.
Awesome. So what do you struggle with these days? I know the chronic fatigue. Anything else? Bad advice about not fasting for certain times?
Advice. I got on some bad advice. Well, I got onto keto, but not properly.
Keto. Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't real keto, so I wasn't counting macros. I thought, I can't do any of that. But I'll just add butter to everything, including my coffee. So I think that I gained a lot of weight doing that, Jim.
Yeah.
Because I was still eating sugar. I was still just eating the things. Yeah.
That
just
is
adding
not
butter to everything.
You know, I'm good. I'm laughing and you're laughing, but honestly, I do think that's been some of the most confusing part about the whole keto movement is that it gave everyone the impression that fat was free.
Yes. Well, I was fasting. I was fasting as well.
Yeah.
I just thought you could do both, but no, you can't.
Yeah. There's some sort of a thought that like you cannot gain fat from eating fat. And actually fat is the easiest thing that your body will store as fat. It doesn't even have to work that hard. You know, if you eat way too many carbs and your body has to convert some to fat, it's a harder process. So it's less likely to happen. So. Anyway, I get it. There's just so much noise out there. It's really hard to disconnect yourself from all that diet noise.
You know what would help with that, Jen?
What?
A dieting coach. Not a dieting coach. A fasting coach.
Right. Well, I'm excited that you're studying at IIN and that you're thinking about it because seriously, people do need a little extra assistance. You know, I've got my community and it's a great place and I love the members there and they are really great at supporting one another. And of course I'm there too, but sometimes people need just another level of support and that's where a coach, I do not coach. And sometimes people will reach out to me and ask me if I do and I don't have time to take that on, but we definitely need fasting coaches who really understand fasting and the clean fast.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Makes such a difference. So, well, we are almost out of time.
Oh my goodness.
You're definitely going to have to stay in touch and let me know what happens when you consistently like a 36-12 kind of a thing. Yep. See how that goes. And we could really probably talk for a long time more, but what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Ooh, well, after our discussion, I'm thinking, there is so much conflicting advice out there. So, be careful what you read because, I've been fasting on and off for 5 or 6 years and read so much. And I just read that thing about the hormones and look, that took
and
me
the women.
Off path.
Yeah.
So, there is misinformation out there. So do your research.
I'm sure she's coming from a good place. Maybe she's seen people do over fasting. And so either that, you can't draw conclusions from someone doing something badly, right? If someone's doing it wrong, then that's the problem, not the thing. Like you could abuse fasting.
Yeah. Of
and then is it the fasting that's the problem? No, it's that you abused the fasting and did too much fasting. So it's finding that happy medium.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
My other advice would be don't compare and be ready to be a study of one because look at me. I am so unique and I don't think anyone else would have a fasting story like me, but I trust the science and I believe it'll work one day for weight loss. It's had many other benefits, but the weight loss will come eventually.
Yeah. So you just still stuck at that, 10 kilograms down? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 to go.
And the gut part is so important. Like we said earlier, it is just, and it's still such a mystery. You know, even as much as we know about the gut, it's still kind of in the infancy.
It really is. And it's exciting to see where it will go.
I think so too. Well, Emma, it has been a pleasure to talk to you today. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'm serious. I'd like you to stay in touch.
I will, Jen. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to meet you after listening to you for so many years. So thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.